The bullet train may be back on track. Earlier this month, the state legislature narrowly approved $8 billion in bond money to start the construction of the high-speed rail system connecting Los Angeles to the Bay Area. Governor Jerry Brown signed off at ceremonies in L.A. and San Francisco.
What this is all about is investing in the future. I know there are some fearful men, I call them declinists, who want to put their head in a hole and hope reality changes. I don't see it that way. This is a time to invest, to create thousands of jobs like this project. We had the Golden Gate Bridge in the middle of the Depression. So it isn't, when things aren't going so good, it's not a time to kind of hunker down and hope that all blows over. You have to take the bull by the horns and start spending and investing in things that make sense. That's why we're here today, to put people to work.
The project is now expected to cost close to $69 billion to complete. The bulk of the money the legislature just approved will go to start building a 130-mile stretch of track in the Central Valley. About a quarter will go to local transportation projects in L.A. and San Francisco. The bullet train project is controversial. The scope and the price tag has changed many times since voters first approved the plan back in 2008. And the project now faces multiple lawsuits designed to stop construction before it starts. KALW's transportation reporter Julie Kane sat down with Michael Rosenberg, a reporter who covers high-speed rail for the San Jose Mercury News.
It's interesting that the building is starting in the Central Valley, where there is a lot of opposition, very vocal opposition to the project, and in fact, a lot of litigation. I'm wondering if you can talk about some of the real obstacles, particularly legal obstacles that are in the way of the bullet train now.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, the Central Valley was supposed to be the easy part because the opposition was really in the Bay Area and just so many people in L.A. that they would have to displace. But the Central Valley, they were supposed to, you know, just sort of say, yeah, this is great, come on down. And it turns out they were the ones who rose up against it the fiercest. And now they're really only faced with one option, which is to sue, because no one has any control over the project outside of the state and federal government. So if you're a local county or city or a farmer or a business owner, the only thing you can do is just try to sue. And so there's, I mean, about a half a dozen suits going on right now. There's going to be more coming. But the general idea is to have a judge issue an injunction to stop them from being able to start construction. And that's something that will be playing out over the next 6 months or so.
And I know there were also some questions about whether it's actually legal in terms of what the voters voted on in 2008, because the high-speed rail plan has changed so much since that time.
Right. And it's an ethical argument that we voted on a certain plan. It was supposed to be $33 billion. Now it's twice that. It was supposed to open by 2020. Now it's 2030. The ticket to get from SF to LA was supposed to be $55. Now it's like $85. The rider estimates have gone in half. Everything has changed pretty dramatically, but some of the opponents were trying to use that sort of going beyond just sort of an ethical argument and saying, well, it's just flat out illegal. You can't use this money. It's a legal statute that was created when the voters passed the bond measure to approve the project in 2008. So if you're going to use that money, you have to adhere by what you said you were going to spend the money on. So That's probably not an argument that's going to win in a legal sense, because they usually give them sort of leeway to spend money on those sorts of things. The details have changed, but just from an ethical standpoint, that's sort of the main argument that opponents cite when you're talking about people who once supported it and are now against it.
In light of all of that, why is Jerry Brown still such a champion of high-speed rail? Why is he still so behind it?
Well, there's a couple of schools of thought on that. I mean, what he says is that he dreams of doing big things, and he doesn't believe that bad times are the time to shy away. I mean, he had this press conference where he called all the skeptics, fearful men and NIMBYs and declinists, and he tends to sort of take his point of view and it doesn't necessarily care so much about what the polls say, especially when it comes to a long-term project that really, to be frank, I mean, by the time the project's finished, even on the most optimistic standards, Jerry Brown will probably be, you know, passed away. So it's something that's so long-term, he'll never really have to deal with the repercussions of it. And, you know, from a skeptic standpoint, you know, what people point to is that the main driver of this project in terms of the funding to get the ballot measure passed, to keep it going, and to lobby politicians has come from the construction unions, because, of course, that $69 billion, that's going into their pockets. So the Democrats, Brown, and some of the others are funded mostly by the unions. So if they turn down a project that the unions support, then they risk losing the support of their major funding backers, and then they might not get elected back to office.